For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, with the latest readout video from our free Wednesday Wake Up email newsletter, to which you should subscribe, and A Friendly Wave to Slovakia, number 48 on our dynamite list of top views by country. And speaking of dynamite, you might legitimately be skeptical of a social media post saying Germany, which is further up on our list of views, but arguably not high enough, just blew up its most modern coal-fired plant, which cost 3 billion euros and produced enough energy for a whole city. As Ezra Levant of Rebel News claimed, quote, they demolished it because Greta said so. Putin and Xi are laughing, end quote. Now hang on. We know the Energiewende has been a disaster, but surely not that bad. Aren't the people behind it starting to come to their senses? 9. Because the story is real, and newspapers from India to Russia are chortling at the way Moorburg actually, truly, blowed up real bad. Including in Vladimir Putin's Pravda, which scoffed, quote, Germany detonates its most modern coal-fired power plant after just 6 years. The Moorburg plant in Hamburg cost 3 billion euros and produced 1,654 megawatts, enough to power the entire city, end quote. Who does that? And just how gullible are they? Well, we're glad you asked. Sort of. See, Review Energy reports that, quote, the demolition, which significantly altered the silhouette of the former coal-fired power plant, is part of efforts to clear space for green hydrogen infrastructure, end quote. Yep, they actually blew up the pollution reduction unit at that power plant to create unicorn pasture. Or tried to. India Today called it, quote, a grim visual reminder of the country's energy shift, end quote. But it was a grim visual reminder of something else, too, the collapse of competence in the West. Quote, the demolition, intended to collapse both boiler rooms of the plant, was partially unsuccessful. When the explosion occurred, only one of the two boiler rooms collapsed, leaving the other intact, end quote. So, the people who brought you the blitzkrieg can't even blow up their own factory now? Meanwhile, here's a headline to brighten your morning, or ruin it, depending on your general view of climate. Quote, BP shuns renewables in return to oil and gas, end quote. From the BBC, no less. And why did BP do it? Well, Go Woke, Go Broke works on environmental policy too, for firms as for governments. But the former lose their own money, or don't if they come to their senses in time. As we noted last week, to recapture the fading thrill of youthful apocalypticism, alarmists turn to the Antarctic Circumpolar Current, or ACC, to do us all in. But they haven't forgotten their old beloved harbinger of doom, the Atlantic Meridional Overturning Circulation, and apparently the AMOC is going to go amok too, we are yet again assured. Also, if winter's going to end, for good or even just once, can we please stop with headlines like major snowstorm stretching from Alberta to Quebec, or hundreds of thousands in Ontario still without power on third day of spring storm? A spring storm here meaning one with lots of snow and ice, so really kind of a winter storm. Or, quote, UK cold weather, 10-day freeze hits Britain as Arctic winds put nation in path of collapsing polar vortex, end quote. Or Heatmaps emailed, quote, ice storms left more than 900,000 customers without power across Michigan, Wisconsin, and Indiana, end quote, while hail threatens to lash 24 states. Oh, and here in Ottawa, we just set the all-time record, a phrase here meaning since 1872, for consecutive March days with at least 10 centimeters of snowfall, though since it was only 2 days, it means we shared it with 5 other years, going back to 1876. On the plus side, kids here still know what snow is. Just not with these flowers, birds, and grass that old people keep mentioning might be. Meanwhile, Science News offers a trendy Taylor Swift hook that concedes that her jet-setting trendy carbon offsets have raised some doubts even among fans, and adds, quote, over the last few years, carbon credits have faced increasing scrutiny. A string of academic studies and media investigations have concluded that many credits do not represent genuine emissions savings. One investigation concluded that over 90% of carbon credits issued for rainforest protection by the largest carbon credit certification body had no benefit to the climate, end quote. And if people with stars in their eyes are beginning to notice that not all is well in their green new world, we actually consider it a step forward in the debate. unlike The Guardian running a typical and typically obtuse piece saying, quote, record 4.5 million children in poverty in UK as cuts condemned as morally repugnant, end quote, and, quote, data published on day after Labour announces cuts that analysts say will hit children and disabled people hardest, end quote. So, world ends, etc. But it's dim-witted to deplore cuts when the British government, like that of nearly every other Western country, has been on a half-century-long spending spree that now threatens to bankrupt even the wealthiest of economies. And to have campaigned relentlessly for two decades to make energy unaffordable, and with it everything made with energy, and without it was not anything made that was made, as that publication has, and then turn around and say, oh, life is hard for the poor and we need more of what made it hard, that's so blockheaded it qualifies as cruel. And to leave energy costs out of the piece, as they did, borders on dishonest. And now, on a lighter note, in a memorable scene in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Marvin the Paranoid Android is offered a whole new life full of excitement, adventure, and really wild things and groans, oh, not another one. But yes, a whole new generation of climate models is apparently upon us with excitement, adventure, and really deadly things. For instance, quote, the latest climate models indicate that moderate emissions can also increase global temperature, rising by even 7 degrees Celsius, end quote. As Marvin says, sounds awful. The pseudoscience, we mean, not the blazing earth. And by pseudoscience, we definitely include the bit about mistaking model projections for sober reality, as in, quote, the world of climate science is buzzing with excitement and curiosity as NOAA unveils its new climate models. These models have revealed some surprising trends that have caught the attention of weather enthusiasts and scientists alike, end quote. Yes, but not trends in actual real-world events, just in sci-fi that isn't even witty. In the newsletter, we also remind readers that one of the flags of pseudoscience, and not only on climate, is a spurious degree of precision in output claims and a lack of curiosity about input data. For instance, Matthew Wilicki recently warned that, quote, sea level is one of those metrics we're constantly told reveals the truth about climate change. But few stop to ask, what exactly is sea level, and how do we even measure it, end quote. Now, if they do stop to ask, they discover that satellite measurements are subject to massive adjustments that, quote, depend on models, assumptions, and data processing protocols that aren't always transparent. And here's where things start to smell fishy, end quote. Meanwhile, Scientific American emailed an article headline, quote, as the world gets closer to the mark 1.5 degrees Celsius in Paris Climate Agreement, scientists are racing to establish a single way to monitor current warming, end quote. But if they don't yet have a way to measure it, how do you know we're closing in on it? How confident are you about current warming if, say, it's a pastiche of temperatures going in a variety of directions, but a largely interpolated large warming in Antarctica drives up the average? Or is real science only for deniers? Speaking of which, while climate alarmists are prone to claiming that we deniers are venal swine driven by greed, we can't help noticing that the funding on their side is still orders of magnitude larger. So, if we had no scruples, we'd change our tune and cash in. But our growing concern about our choice of field here isn't actually driven by that noble consideration. Rather, it's a new piece by recovering liberal Michael Schellenberger and our friend Roger Pilkey Jr. saying, quote, climate change is going to fade from view like overpopulation did, end quote, leaving us here at CDN with nothing relevant to debunk. Well, we'll jump off that bridge when we come to it. But it is hard to argue with those authors' claim that, quote, lack of protests over Trump's action on energy shows how little anyone ever really cared about global warming, end quote. And we've long believed, and we've said, that people tell pollsters they're worried about climate change because they know they're supposed to tell them that, and because there's no cost to sending up that particular little wisp of virtue signal. But when you ask them how much they'll pay even in theory, and especially if you actually ask them to pay it, you discover that they vote with their dollars that there is no climate crisis. Which rather makes you wonder how this alarmism hijacked public policy. A question which actually may baffle future generations. And speaking of baffling, over the years we've had some fun taking viewers around the world in our Sea Level Check series, which may not be everyone's idea of fun, But as our latest Look It Up item explains, if it's your idea of fun, you too can now get in on the action by going to the NOAA Tides and Currents website where the data are archived. In the newsletter, we then turn to the first in a two-part series on recent peer-reviewed papers that, somewhat surprisingly but definitely commendably, offer honest words of caution about paleoclimate reconstructions and what they do or don't tell us about the current warming versus past ones. As you know, many alarmists insist that the Earth is warming faster than ever, as if we somehow knew what the climate was doing to a hundredth of a degree a million years ago, or even a thousand, you know, what it was doing over centuries or even decades back in the Cretaceous or the Permian. And this topic especially draws our attention because it's the favorite sandbox of the notorious Michael Mann. So the first of these papers, which was our topic this week, deals with the cherry-picking problem in paleo reconstructions and gives the IPCC a refreshingly direct and overdue rebuke over it. Titled, quote, "The IPCC's Reductive Common Era Temperature History," end quote, it appeared in Nature Communications, which is ordinarily a secure bastion of IPCC orthodoxy. And the 15 authors, headed by German climatologist Jan Esper, include some of the best-known names in the paleoclimate field, so they're hard to ignore. Even when they complain that in its 2001 IPCC report, nicknamed the TAR, or Third Assessment Report, the IPCC highlighted the Mann hockey stick even though other reconstructions were available. In its 2007 and 2013 reports, after enduring withering criticism, the IPCC did produce new paleoclimate charts showing many different reconstructions that revealed considerable disagreement and uncertainty, which suggests that they do have some conscience. But not enough, because the new paper notes that in 2021 the IPCC reverted to form by selecting only one reconstruction and ignoring all the others, not because their choice was clearly more rigorous, but because it was clearly more congenial. Here's the graph that the IPCC showed in 2021. It's called Pages 2K, and it represents temperatures going back 2,000 years, ending, of course, with man's blasted hockey stick blade. But Esper and his co-authors argue that the uncertainty bands, that's the gray shading, are implausible, particularly because they don't get wider as you go back in time, even though the data clearly get more and more sparse and unreliable. And worse, everything in it is based on a single study when there are actually thousands of potential reconstructions to choose from. Then the authors wobble, presenting a few reconstructions to show disagreement in the past, but all showing the modern era as the warmest yet, and ignoring the crucial problem here of stitching modern thermometer records tendentiously onto historical proxy records. But even so, it's another crack in the wall of orthodoxy, and it's welcome. Also welcome, if not surprising, is a CO2science.org archive finding that cucumbers also love carbon dioxide. Almost as if there were a pattern here. For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, and I won't be blowing up my own stuff anytime soon.